this year. So it was suggested that I try to highlight some things that Bachur wouldn't necessarily see on their own. So we can try and do that a little bit. So today share something that for sure you didn't see on your own, because unless you may have seen in other cases, but it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, not in the Ramon, not in the Mishnah, nowhere. But yet it's probably the most commonly asked question of the Basic Knesset. So since I know you've been working out the sugyas of the Basic Knesset the last couple of weeks, so I thought we would just spend a little bit of time talking about the, in a certain sense, very pressing issue of Baruch Hashem and our generation. It's not as pressing as it was in another generation, but it's still an important topic, and that's the issue of Mechitza and Shul. What exactly are the parameters? Where does it come from exactly? What the din, what's considered to be a mechitza, what's not considered to be a mechitza, why is it a mechitza, etc. So the entire sugya is, strangely enough, doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch at all. Probably doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, because it was such a milsa de pshita that anyone for the last 2,000 years walked to a shul. Of course, there were no women sitting in the middle of the shul, so no one ever had to even bother drawing your attention that there aren't supposed to be women sitting there. But we have to still, after b'chem, we have to learn the sugya and see where exactly it comes from. So the sugya begins in Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara is discussing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It was a big party, a big celebration. It used to take place in the Beis HaMikdash during the days of Sukkis. There's a machlokes rishonim why that celebration was taking place in the first place. So the Rashi writes that the celebration of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was to accompany the Nisach HaMayim. Because the pasuk says, "Ushafta Mayim Besosim Imanei Yeshua." So when you do the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, it's supposed to be done in a state of great simcha. So the mechayim of the simple Nisach HaShoeva was part of the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Lulav, writes that the reason why they had such great celebrations in the Beis HaMikdash and Sukkos is because the pasuk says, "Usmachtem Lefneshem Lokechem Shivas Yomim," that you have to celebrate with simcha in front of the Beis HaMikdash before Hashem for the whole week of Sukkis. So the Rambam writes that there's a din of simcha yaseir on Sukkis that doesn't exist on the other Yom Tovim, and that din of simcha yaseir only expresses itself in the Mikdash, and therefore you have to have special parties. And the Rambam writes that's why they had the dancing, the juggling, all the kunsim that they had, that was to fulfill this mitzvah of usmachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim. Even though that pasuk also refers to the mitzvah Netilas Lulav and Mikdash Kol Shiva, the Rambam understood the pasuk Kipshuto also, and Mikriyas of the Pshuto, there's a special mitzvah of Simchas HaMikdash, the Holy of Sukkis. And then I slice it with the Rashi's reasons and the Rambam reasons. The Maisa, the Gemara says, there was the Mishnah has described a great amount of merrymaking that took place in the Beis HaMikdash during the week of Chol HaMoed Sukkis. So the Gemara has a famous comment in the end of Masechet Sukkah, where the Gemara says that they realize that when you have such tremendous simcha going on, so people tend to take things, get a little bit tzchok b'kalas rosh, and there was a little bit of a tzchok b'kalas rosh, the men and the women together, joined this great simcha, the simcha was based on Shulayva, and therefore Tikkun Gadol Tikkun, they made a big karnach, they made a big improvement in the Beis HaMikdash, that they built a balcony on top, and as we call it today, as Nashim, they put a place for the women to sit. The Gemara says that actually it took them a little bit of time until they figured out that would be the Eitz. At first they tried to put the women in the back, in the front, all kinds of different kunz. In the end, they figured out the only way that's going to actually do the trick is they're going to have the women sit all the way on the top. So the Gemara raises the question about how can you do that? What justification is there to build a balcony in the Beis HaMikdash? There is a din that the Gemara derives from Sukkim, HaKol B'Chsav. When you build the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to build the Beis HaMikdash exactly the scale, exactly what the Nevuah is. There were three times in history when they built a Mikdash. They built the Mishkan, and they built Bais Rishon, they built Bais Sheni, maybe about a Mikdash. There'll be a fourth time with Bais Shlishi. So each time when you build the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be built under the instructions of a Navi. The Mishkan, so the dimensions were given directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bais Rishon was given the Nevuah to the Nevi'im at the time, to God, to the Nasa, and the Navi, who assisted David HaMelech in drawing up the blueprints for the Beis HaMikdash. And then in Bais Sheni also, it was also built up in Nevi'im. There was some Nevi'im there. That's what the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, that we can't just build the Beis HaMikdash for Zman Hazeh. We can't get everybody together and say, okay, we're going to go build the Beis HaMikdash. So we don't know how, we didn't even know where to start. We wouldn't know what dimensions to make things. The Mishkan was different from Bais Rishon. Bais Rishon was different from Bais Sheni. So we have to wait and see that Nevi'im have to tell us explicitly how to do it. So I'm sorry if it discusses the possibility of building a Mizbech and offering Karbanos without a Mikdash. That's a different story. But to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash without the assistance of the Navi, so I'm sorry if it writes, that's not even in the cards. So getting back to
that. Doesn't Yechezkel go into detail
there? So the problem is that we don't really understand the Pesukim. That's what the Rambam writes, that the Binyan HaShlishi is going to be built according to some of the things based on the Buz Yechezkel. We don't even understand what some of the things are. So we have to wait for clarification what exactly that means. So getting back to the story. So the Gemara says that you can't just add on things, change the architectural plans of the Beis HaMikdash just at whim. So the Gemara says, no, this was justified because it was very, very important. Because otherwise, there was a big avers that were going on, if you have the men and the women all sitting together, that's not going to be appropriate. And the Gemara quotes Pesukim to highlight, Pesukim from Navi, to highlight the fact that that's a good thing. It's a proper thing to separate the men and the women when you have such a simple going on in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's where the sugya ends. So the Gemara raised the question, what do you do? How do you solve the problem? So the Gemara, Chazal came up with an answer, you build a balcony. The Gemara said, how can you do that? It's a problem. It's not a problem because there was a justified reason for doing it.
This was by a Sheni?
By a Sheni, yeah. That's what the Mishnah is describing by a Sheni. What was going on by a Srishan? I don't know. Maybe the women weren't covered by a Sheni. I don't know what was going on. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, he has several very, very famous tshuvas about this, but he keeps on driving home the same point, where he picks up on this Gemara and he says, wait a second. So the Gemara is describing that they did something that would otherwise have been a violation of halacha. Stop to add on to the tzuras hamikdash is not acceptable. So what right do they have to do that? The Gemara just said, well, it was okay because it was important. So Moshe says, well, it wasn't just important. You have to be more than just important. The Moshe says that the only matir to in a sense circumvent this issue of a kol b'chsav, which he shows from other Gemaras as a real issue in the Torah kol b'chsav. So Moshe says you have to have a real tzorach and a love of the araisa. If what you're trying to accomplish is necessary min haTorah, then we assume that's not a change in the tzura. That's part of the grandiose plan. It means you can't make your own innovations. But if it's a Torah mandated innovation, there's nishkin innovation. That's part of the tzura. Even though there wasn't a specific nevuah to build a balcony, but since we realize that there's some kind of a Torah problem that's being violated in the absence of a balcony, so building a balcony is not considered to be a violation of public sound. So Moshe, that's the underlying principle of the sugya that shows from other Gemaras, that the only way for us to get around this otherwise Torah violation of Kabbalah Sab is to create a deraisa dikatzorech. So Moshe says, what's the deraisa dikatzorech? See from here that having the men and the women together in the Makom HaMikdash, that would be some kind of a violation of some kind of a Torah, a problem. So then Moshe takes a step back and he says, you know, maybe I'm not right. Maybe there's another reason why it wasn't a real violation of the Kol B'Chsav. So he quotes the Maharsha. And the Maharsha says that the only time there's a real Torah violation of the Kol B'Chsav is only if you want to change something for the purposes of Avedis HaKarbonis. If you say the Torah says that the Mizbech is supposed to be a certain size, and you say, no, we want to make it a little bit different. We want our own innovation in terms of Avedis HaKarbonis. That's the violation of the Kol B'Chsav. The Torah says that the Heichel is supposed to be such and such. We say, no, we're going to make it, we want a little bit roomier, we want a little cozier, we want something else. But if there's some kind of a tzarech menachut, if there's any other kind of non-avoda-oriented reason, so then the Marsha says that doesn't seem to be a violation of a chobachsav. So if that's correct, if that Marsha is correct, then Moshe's whole yisoid is not correct. Moshe's whole ochach from the Gemara is that there's got to be some real bona fide tzarech d'araisa to build an Ezos Nashim in the Beis HaMikdash. If that premise is not true, then the whole truth of Ramesha is not going to be true. So Ramesha doesn't accept that Marsha. He shows from the Gemara, he doesn't think that Marsha is right. He doesn't think that there's some kind of a reason that if it's not, as long as it's not a Vedas HaKarbonis oriented, then it's okay. Then Ramesha has trouble because there is a rush that says that one of the walls that they built around the Harabayas, the Mishnayos described the Seirig, they built a certain fence and wall around in the Harabayas. So it's not clear what the purpose of that wall was. So the Rush writes that the reason for that Rush was perishing. Midos writes that the reason for that wall was to avoid problems of carrying on Shabbos, because the Beis HaMikdash was technically a place that wasn't hukuf l'dira, even though it was surrounded by walls, but the walls weren't made for the purposes of dira. So there's also an area about if you have a big area that's surrounded by walls, not for a specific purpose of living in, so that could be a potential carrying problem. So the Rush writes that they wanted to solve that problem, so they built an extra wall to make it somehow avoid the problem of carrying in Shabbos. So no one could come to the Beis HaMikdash and say, we don't hold the air of the Beis HaMikdash. That was the goal of the wall. So the Moshe writes on that rush, he says, what right do they have to do that?
It's outside.
Well, we'll see in a second. We'll see what that wall was. That wall was technically on the Harabayas. But the problem was that the balcony they built was also the Harabayas. So Moshe writes, he writes that if you would say like the Marshal, then that rush would make a lot of sense, because they were building a wall for some non-avoda purposes, so that would have been justified. But according to what I'm saying, says Rabbi Moshe, that non-avoda purposes is not a justification. The only justification to violate the Kabbalah is a real tzarech deraisa. This wall was not needed for a tzarech deraisa. Min haTorah, you're allowed to carry in an area that's not mukhlas l'dira, as long as it's surrounded by walls, that's okay. So the whole building of the new wall was only for some kind of a tzarech derabanan. According to according to Moshe's theory, that wouldn't have sufficed. So Moshe goes on to explain, no, if you look carefully along the lines of what you said, you have to see where that wall was situated. That wall was situated on the Harabayas. So Moshe says he thinks that the Harabayas is not subject to the Issa Mechob Echsav. What do you mean it's not subject to the Issa? The whole story, the original discussion, was at the Harabayas. The whole simplest base of Shemeva was in the Ezra's Noshim. The Ezra's Noshim was technically part of the Harabayas. The Azara doesn't start, the technical Azara doesn't start until you pass the Shar Nikonor, until you get into the inner part of the base of Mikdash. So Moshe gets himself into a contradiction. He says the only way to defend the Rosh's Tzvara that you're allowed to build a wall for Tzrachim and somehow there's no problem with Kovachzav is to say that it's Harabayas. But the problem is, and the whole discussion is a moot discussion, the whole Raya of Moshe was that there's a potential Issa D'Oraisa of a Kovachzav. So Moshe has a long tshuva to try to explain to you that not all the Harabayas is created equal. Again, we're going to leave the details for now. And Moshe shows you that some of the Harabayas were subject min HaTorah to the Issa of a Kovachzav, and some of it wasn't. So the Rosh is okay, and my Raya is okay, and the Mechitz and the Beis Mikdash is needed with the Raya, and everything shall Moshe well. So Moshe has a lot of assumptions, but Moshe was a he showed you from every Gemara, every line, he showed you where all of his assumptions are not just assumptions, they're all correct, he claims. And therefore, when all the dust settles, you know, the wall that the Rosh built, and one of them Mahti carrying, so that's okay, the Rosh didn't build it, but the wall that was built according to the Rosh, Mahti carrying, that was okay because it wasn't technically a violation of Kobosah because it was too far away. The balcony that they built in the Beis HaMikdash was in the Beis HaMikdash, but that was close enough to be a problem. But the solution to the problem was, it was a Tzarech D'Oraisa. So when all the dust settles, Moshe says that the only thing that's not there, changing the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, if and when the Issur Mekom Echsav applies, like it did by that balcony, is the fact that it's a real bona fide Tzarech D'Oraisa. So Moshe, after all the dust settles, says, you see from here, that a wall or a balcony in the Beis HaMikdash to separate the man and the woman was required in the D'Oraisa. Okay, so that was 15 minutes, we're not learning Rechus Beis HaMikdash now, we're learning Rechus Beis HaKnesses. So where do we go from here? So now Moshe goes one step further. So Moshe says, now that we've ascertained that min HaTorah, you require some kind of separation between men and women in the Mikdash, so how does that play out in terms of our shul? So the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that a shul is considered to be a Mikdash Ma'at. So that's a big question, how far does that go? So many of the dinim that you've been learning about some of the limitations, things you're not supposed to be doing in the shul, are patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Some are and some aren't. And there's certain things that let's say, eating, drinking, sleeping, and kalas rosh, those kinds of things, those didn't carry off from Beis HaMikdash to shuls. On the other hand, there are certain things that you're not allowed to do in the Beis HaMikdash that you are allowed to do in shul. You're not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Shiva Be'azor, Machas Beis David Bilvad, there's no chumri, you're not allowed to sit in shuls. So there are certain things that the shul doesn't carry over from the Beis HaMikdash. So how do you know which is which? That becomes a little bit more difficult. So there is a big machlokes in Rishonim when we talk about Rechus Beis HaKnesses. So does the Gemara mean this with seriousness? That this is a real din of Mikdash min HaTorah? The din of Mor HaMikdash min Derais apply to shuls? Is that really true? So that's a question. So Rav Moshe writes that even if you hold that Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is only with the Rabbanon, that means Shelo B'Shas Tefillah. But when you have a Shas Tefillah going on, the Tavarim Shem Kedusha taking place in the shul at that moment, so he says for sure that's a Kedusha Derais. There's some kind of a din of a Makom Kadosh on the level of the Araisa. And therefore, Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't think it's a big stretch to think that just as in the Beis HaMikdash, as he proved to you that with all his cheshbainis, that you need a separation between men and women on the level of the Araisa, what did not be b'shasa tefila, when a shul becomes this kaddish, produces a mikdash, and a mikdash, and a mikdash ma'at, on the level of the Araisa, he thinks that the din would also be true that you require a separation. Now, men and women, when they're shpatirin together in shul, drawing tefillah, he thinks it would be an outright violation of that Issa D'Oraisa that the Gemara is referring to. One could accept Rav Moshe's tshuva by the Beis HaMikdash and then disagree when it comes to shuls. One could say that Rav Moshe is totally right, Lagabi the Mikdash, but maybe he's not. Maybe we can argue Lagabi shuls. Maybe that equation is not true. Maybe the requirement of Mechitza in Beis HaMikdash is D'Oraisa. Maybe the requirement of Mechitza in shul b'shas tefillah is only with the Rabbanan. Or maybe one could argue with the whole Rav Moshe. Maybe one can say, even in the Beis HaMikdash it wasn't D'Oraisa. The whole thing that pushed Rav Moshe to say that a mechitza in the Beis HaMikdash was D'Oraisa, the balcony was required with D'Oraisa, was because he couldn't get out of the Hakom Echsav problem. But the Marsha had another way out of the problem. It was a different answer. Maybe that was a simpler answer. Well, whatever the case may be. So Rav Moshe was, in a sense, the biggest machmir in this. He had two hanochas. Premise number one is that in the Beis HaMikdash separation is needed b'nei Torah. And then premise number two is shuls are the same, b'shas tefillah. And those who want to argue with Rav Moshe could either disagree with the first premise or the second premise, or both premises. But Rav Moshe did accept both of these premises. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Didn't the Gemara Sukkah was only talking about doing Sukkot Beis HaMikdash because it's going to...
Because apparently the women weren't coming in on Mass at other times, right?
But ceramic or to a mosaic, they would have had a balcony.
If you would have had a problem during the rest of the year, we have to identify what the problem is exactly. We're not sure yet what the issue was. The Chazal were addressing it. We're just addressing the men and women there. We have to see what the problem was.
Would there be a chil b'amida during Shas HaTehillah, the initial?
Would there be what?
Chil b'amida, standing?
I don't think so.
Because
again, some of them didn't do carries and don't carry over. Yeah. I don't know which ones do which. So even aniach, that there's a requirement, maybe on a level of deraisa, maybe on a level of derabbanan, whatever the case may be, let's say the Beis HaMikdash was deraisa, what exactly is the purpose? What exactly was the tikkun gadol? What exactly is going wrong in the absence of having this balcony? So here Moshe had a further question, where here he disagreed with other poskim. Some poskim were maintained that the real problem of having the men and women together in the same place, both in Mikdash as well as in Shul, is related to another din. It's related to the dinim of Istaklos, that there are halachas that a person is, in general, not shouldn't be looking at women. The Kabbalah, a person is not supposed to be looking at women in Bishas HaTfilah, to such an extent that the din is that, let's say, if a woman is not dressed appropriately, and a person is looking at Mekamas Erva, so that can throw into question the potential issue their Isa. The Gemara learns out from the Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, and it says, Keshelokach Mesalech, Bekerem Bechanecha, Be'ir Bechayev Es Dovar. Whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there, so you have to be very careful. Even though the Pshuta Shemikra is talking about going after battle, the Torah Shemapa explains, the Gemara says in the Torah Baruch Hu's, that this also includes any time that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is present, either B'Shas Tavu Torah, B'Shas Tefillah, Dvar Pshu Kedusha, etc. Any time a person is saying Shem Hashem, Baruch Hu, Tefillah, Dvar Torah, so one has to be careful. So not allowed to be people who are dressed inappropriately, whether they're men or whether they're women. That would be a problem. Then, in addition to that, there is a general dinim of istaklus b'nashim, which are considered even more problematic if it's being done at the time of Kedusha. So there are some poskim who maintain that that was the whole goal of the separation of the Beis HaMikdash. The problem was that the men were going to see the women. That was the position that the Satmar Rebbe had, others had, that the whole goal, the ultimate goal of the Mechitz and Shul is to prevent the istaklus. So Rav Moshe disagreed with that. Rav Moshe said that he thought that the real problem was not a problem, not that Stoppus is okay, but he said that wasn't really the problem. The real problem, says Rav Moshe, was the Kalas Rosh. The real problem was the fact that they would be schmoozing, they would be conversing, they would be talking and joking together. That's the stira to Dvarim Shebekdush, that's the stira to Mikdash, that's the stira to Shul, to carry off from Mikdash. And so Rav Moshe says, my nafka mina, whether you go with the Sama Rebbe's approach, that it was a problem of Stoppus, or it's a problem of a separation in terms of Chok and Kalas Rosh. There are common nafka minas. So you can have a situation where we could separate between the two in such a way that it's going to be very hard for them to have conversations. On the other hand, they're going to be able to see everything. So what would the din be under those circumstances? So that's what Moshe discussed in terms of what's the shiur of a mechitza, how high does the mechitza shul have to be? So he said, here you go with the mahalach that the mechitza has to be high enough to prevent your ear, to prevent the stoplos. It has to be eye level. So it's got to be an average person stands around close to 6 feet. So it's got to be pretty close to 6 feet in order to be an acceptable mechitza to prevent the men from seeing the women. Hashem can Rav Moshe says, you go with what I'm saying, so it doesn't matter that much that the man may see the woman. He obviously shouldn't be trying to do that, but that's not what we're trying to accomplish in the mechitza. We're just trying to cut down on conversation. So Rav Moshe says, conversation, it just has to be high enough that it would make conversation very difficult. It's not going to make conversation impossible. You can talk over a wall also. But as long as the conversation is not going to be very easy to have, so we thought that's sufficient to serve as a separation. So how much is that maisa? So Moshe said that if you're standing next to somebody and there's a wall between you and them that's shoulder height, it's very hard to have a schok b'chalas rosh. Maybe you can say a word or two, but it's hard to have an ongoing conversation with schok b'chalas rosh. So Moshe thought as long as it's basically shoulder height, that would be sufficient to mitigate the problem. How much is shoulder height? So Moshe said you have to have measure an average person. So he writes in a shoe of 60 inches or so, about 5 feet or so. So an average person is, 5'10 or so. So not shoulder height, it's barach 5 feet. It's not written in stone, this number. Moshe said that's what he thinks that the number should be. So that's what many poskim held at this year, Rav Moshe, 60 inches, only 5 feet. And Mechitza is 5 feet, so that would be okay. If you follow Rav Moshe's rationale, that the goal of a mechitza should be just to prevent the chaz rosh, the stakos is not really the factor, so then one can be mekel if the mechitza is a see-through mechitza, if a glass mechitza. So in theory, it's accomplishing the same thing. We have mechitza with cracks in it in such a way that you can technically see through, but it would be hard to hold a normal conversation through that, so that would technically, according to Rav Moshe, also be acceptable. Whether or not those are good mechitzas, whether they're good ideas to have those mechitzas, so one has to be very, very wary about those kinds of mechitzas for other reasons, because even if we're accepting Rav Moshe's kula, so to speak, that the goal of the mechitzas is to prevent Chokotas Rosh, not so much his tatlos could be an issue, so particularly if the women are not dressed as they should be. It is, if a woman comes to shul and she's not dressed appropriately, so then you're not supposed to be saying to return in front of her. So you can hold a permission to take till tomorrow. But if you have a glass mechitza, and the woman on the other side of the mechitza not dressed appropriately, let's say if a woman's a married woman, her hair is not covered, so that would be a potential problem. There are some poskim on mekel bezman hazeh. Nobody's mekel that a married woman doesn't have to cover her hair bezman hazeh. Nobody says that. Everybody agrees to that. The Rosh Hashulchan has this famous kula that's been quoted and misquoted and misapplied. The Rosh Hashulchan just writes in Chos Kriyashma that even though the din is in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to say divrei Torah and say brachas and tefillah in front of a married woman whose hair is not covered, so the Rosh Hashulchan writes he thinks that maybe that doesn't apply bezman hazeh. Because since Nebuch, so many women don't cover their hair, so the Rosh Hashulchan writing 150 years ago, so many women weren't covering their hair, so he says bezman hazeh, when you see a married woman's hair, so there's no hair anymore. So he said he thinks that iser of saying divrei Torah in front of a makom erva is pretty much related to the idea of hirur. And since the hero doesn't exist anymore, so then the mail, that din of saying the return may not exist either. So the Rosh Hashulchan, Chalil v'Chalil, never meant to say she doesn't have to cover here. You look at the Rosh Hashulchan, it's black and white. People have misquoted the Rosh Hashulchan. He just writes that if the reality is that many women are not covering their hair, so then it's hard to ask her to say the return in their presence. Others disagree with that Rosh Hashulchan. So again, so if you know that the women who come to shul are not covering the hair properly, they're not dressed appropriately in other ways, so then it would probably be a very bad idea to have a glass mechitza. But in terms of just this particular prat, so then maybe one could, you know, could technically justify a glass mechitza. There is a common question that's asked concerning a mechitza in shul, as to what age do we have to insist that the little girls should no longer be coming into the men's section. What point is that? Do they have to stay behind the mechitza? So it's very hard to find this black and white. In Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to find this topic because Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about this topic. But or if you would ask me, so I would say the answer to this question is probably the same as a question that also appears back in Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph about Hilchos Kriyashma and Tefillah. What age do we say that the girls are supposed to be dressing appropriately? At what age do we say that if I say the return in front of a girl not dressed appropriately, is that a problem? So the Mishnah Berurah is machmer, and this Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks the shear is 3 years old. That's the halach Moshe Mesinai of Biyasa Biya. So once a girl is Biyasa Biya, so then she should be, you shouldn't say Kriyashma in front of her. The Pasha says that she should be dressing in Sanua fashion. So the Chazanish disagreed with that. The Chazanish said that he thinks that the din of not saying Kriyashma and Tefillah in front of people not dressed appropriately is not so much a halachic, objective, erva type of a din, but it's more here, more like in lines like the Rosh Hashulchan said. So you have a 3.5-year-old girl who's wearing shorts and walks in, you know, and saying and sitting there when you're saying Shema. So no, so a normal person is not going to have hero from that. So the Chazanish thought that maybe that would be acceptable. So maybe one could argue it's the same thing, that if you have a little 4 or 5-year-old girls walking into shul, so there's going to be such schok b'kalas rosh. I mean, maybe she'll be making a lot of noise in shul, but I'm saying the schok b'kalas rosh, the Chazal was describing flirtatious behavior between men and women, is highly unlikely with a little girl of that age. So then maybe one could argue that doesn't apply. And the same with the reason, like the Sefer Rebbe said, it's going to be shumis taklos, and then according to the Chazanish, there's no little taklos at that age, so it would be okay. Again, according to the Machmir, according to Mishnah Berurah, says 3 years old. That's chikla yava. That's the kaveh of all luchasidias. Is 3 years old. So then, probably the 3-year-old girl shouldn't be in the men's section anymore. But those were a little bit more makel. Let their daughters wear a little bit short sleeves. Let them wear a little bit other things past the age of 3 years old to the age of 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever the cutoff point is. Those were a little bit more makel than that. But probably lishitasa be a little bit more makel and having the girls come into the men's section. But once the girls are a little bit older, then even if they're not necessarily bas mitzvah, but they're old enough that it's potential issues of schok b'kalas rosh, stachos, etc. So then obviously they don't belong in the men's section anymore. There is an interesting shaila that the very, very contemporary poskim discuss. Again, it doesn't appear anywhere in the earlier poskim for obvious reasons. They talk about, let's say you find yourself in a situation where you have to start moving the mechitz around, whether that's okay to do on Shabbos. This is not a hochus, this is more of a Shabbos shaila, but it relates to some things that we said. Are you permitted to set up a mechitza on Shabbos? So basically, you have to wait till next year to get to the details of Shabbos, but the bottom line is, that when you make a mechitzas aroy, when you make a temporary wall on Shabbos, so the din is as follows: if it's a mechitza, which is for the purpose of just the use of Yahweh, just I don't want people to see what I'm doing, so to put up a little curtain or put up something temporarily, it's permissible. If it's the what we call mechitza hamateres, mechitza hamateres means that I'm putting up the mechitza to accomplish some halachic goal. Like I'm trying to fix my sukkah, or I'm trying to make my erev or something, if the mechitza has chashivas to it, it's trying to accomplish something, that's called mechitza hamateres. And the mechitza hamateres is also to make a shabbos. It's a little bit confusing. Mechitza hamateres is asura. Mechitza shein hamateres is muteres. Years ago, I used to teach a shabbos in Stern, so I asked the question on the final, give me an example of mechitza hamateres. So all the girls misunderstood what I meant. They thought I meant mechitza hamuteres. So 50 girls wrote the wrong answer. So when you mark enough papers and you see if I was giving the same answer, then you realize the question wasn't clear. So it should have been mechitza hamateres. All the mechitza hamateres are the ones that are not muteres. It's the opposite of what they thought. But getting back to the story. So the Pelskim raised the question, is it mechitza shul, mechitza hamateres or not? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, I can't daven there without it. So that should be mechitza hamateres. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say a word about it because he doesn't talk about move mechitzas around. Because until NCSY started and people started having these, davening from all nowhere, who would have ever thought? Can you imagine Europe, they're building a mechitza, they're moving mechitza, they're moving mechitza. So when you start having Shabbatons, you have to start moving mechitzas around. So nobody talks about this topic until very, very recently. So they say, they quote from the Rav, that the Rav thought that it wasn't really a mechitza, I'm a terrorist. Why is that? You know, the Rav was Eish Lahava. You're not allowed to daven in a shul without a mechitza. The Rav gave his famous psach that on Rosh Hashanah, it's better not to get kishoifim, to get a shul without a mechitza. So why is it not called mechitza materis? Apparently the Rav understood that it's not like an Erev, it's not like a sukkah, that it's a din of mechitza, it's a halachic mechitza. Haraya, it doesn't go with all the halachas of mechitza. You can't build the mechitza shul with a tzur of Pesach. That's not going to do the trick. You know, you can't have mechitza with lavud. It doesn't blend itself to the regular rules of mechitzas. It's a din, chasniyas dictates, chaskalas rosh, chastachas, whatever the source is, whether Ramayshas, whatever the source of the din of mechitza is that chasniyas dictates that it has to be a separation. So it's not a bapsa mechitza, and therefore it's not called a mechitza materis in halacha, that's a problem with the Ravel, and therefore it would be okay on Shabbos. So that's what we usually, a lot of shuls do that, including my own shul, we sometimes have to maneuver around the Ezra a little bit, in Shachmas and Mincha, to make a little more room for people, a little less room for people, so we have to roll the mechitzas a little bit. So we assume that that's not considered to be making a mechitza, because that mechitza is not a halachic mechitza. It's serving an important purpose, and it's an important purpose that may be deraisa, but it's not considered to be mechitza, but that's not like an eiv or a sukkah that would be a problem in terms of Rosh Hashanah. So we start to see the eiv soon.